We are live, ladies and gentlemen, for a new episode of The Electric Podcast. I'm Fred Lambert, your host, and I'm joined, as usual, by Seth Winchell. How are you doing today, Seth?
I'm good, Fred.
All right. Big thanks to Electrify America for sponsoring the podcast again this week. We're going to have more to say about them mid-show, so stay tuned for that. But now let's jump into the news this week. A lot of news items, but we're going to go through them pretty fast because there's nothing major, just a lot of smaller, interesting news pieces to go through. And then we're going to get to the question as usual. So if you have any question, make sure to put them in the live comments, and we're going to get to them later on the show. All right, let's start with an exclusive that we had earlier this week, which is the situation with that elusive $35,000 Model 3. So, I mean, at Electric, we've been pretty critical of how Tesla handled the whole situation with the base price of the Model 3, which is it's something that Elon sort of promised, and that that the Model 3 will start at $35,000, and Tesla couldn't really get there with all the different options that they put together, even though they get pretty close. But for some reason, they absolutely wanted to reach that $35,000 price point. But they did it with like a backdoor solution thing that I haven't been a fan of, which is, of course, they launched it early last year. And then a few weeks later, they're like, oh, no one wants it because everyone wants the standard range plus. And of course they do, because it wasn't that much expensive. And option wise, with the autopilot included and the longer range, it made a lot of sense to just go with that. And they did that on purpose. They priced an option on purpose so that, because they knew that the gross margin would be lower on that $35,000 model, they didn't want to sell it. But the coup de grace, if you will, was not putting it on the website, not even listing it on the website, and it became what Elon has been referring to as the off the menu item. But now, not only off the menu item, but the model actually doesn't exist. They don't really produce them. They produce standard range plus, which then they nerf. They software lock it by software locking the features and even the range inside the car. So they have the same battery pack at the standard range. They call it a downgrade. They downgrade it to a standard range plus, to a standard range, and then adjust the pricing. So the news, what we learned this week, is that Tesla is not downgrading 2021 models standard range plus, basically killing the $35,000 version of the Model 3 for the newer cars, the new version of the Model 3. They can still downgrade 2020 standard range plus that they have on inventory. So if that's something that you want, you can try to find that exists out there, and they can still do that, but not for the 2021 models. So it's basically another sign that this is going to go away, I think. What do you think?
Yeah, so I'm not 100% sure it's going to go away, especially in the long run. It's good to have that price point. I don't usually come down on Elon's side on a lot of these things, but like, you know, Tesla could make a $35,000 Model 3. Like, they could get rid of the cameras, and they could get rid of, you know, a whole bunch of things on the car, and it would easily be that cost. But I think Tesla's philosophy is, we want to build a really good car. We think that the least expensive version that we think is a good car is $38,000. Mm-hmm. If you want a smaller range and not, you know, a lot of nerf things, we'll give you that car at $35,000. You know, we'll still do that. So I think right now they're kind of like, look, if you want that car, you're going to get an even worse car. Like, you're going to get last year's model version of that. And then maybe at some point in the future, they'll bring it back, you know, and once they, you know, fill all the orders of the new Model 3, you know, they get that into the channel inventory.
Yeah, that's a good point. And my source on that, one of them pointed out that indeed the way that Tesla phrased it to the staff when they said that, you know, they're not allowed to do it, is like, you're not allowed to do it now. And they opened the door for reallowing it in the future. So that's a good point. It might still come back. I just think that if it exists, just list it. I don't like the and if you're so confident that the $38,000 version is so much better, and I agree with that, just list it and don't make it like this weird, like, half the menu thing that you need to know about something. And I think why that is a little bit more nefarious reason behind it. And that reason is that in some other markets, like here in Canada, that standard range version exists solely to enable Tesla to have access to EV incentives. So we reported on that before. And because of that, Tesla hasn't killed the Model 3 standard range in Canada. So it's just a US thing for now. In Canada, it's even worse. The standard range plus that starts at $45,000 Canadian, which is the limit that an electric vehicle model needs to start at in order to have access to the federal tax incentive. It's not the tax incentive, actually. It's just a straight rebate. Is 150 kilometers of range, which is less than half of the standard range for that.
150 kilometers, not miles? Kilometers.
No, oh, kilometers. Man. Yeah. So it's obviously
like a compliance car.
Yeah. And yeah, it is. It makes no sense. Like, Tesla obviously makes it completely unattractive. And sure enough, I think Tesla sold like 10,000 Model 3 standard range plus in Canada, and they sold 120 something standard range, which I'm still surprised by. Like, the 120 people went with that model, which is, of course, comes out a lot cheaper. Like, you're going to, with the incentive and everything in Quebec, you're going to pay about, I don't know, $50,000 for a Model 3, a Canadian again. And for a standard range, you're going to end up paying probably around 32, 33, or something like that. And there's a big difference. But you get half the range on it. You don't get autopilot, which I think less people care about, but still. So... that still exists in Canada for that reason, because of that incentive, because having that model also give all the other different Model 3, all the way to performance, maybe even, I'm not sure, maybe not performance, but especially the standard range. Sorry. And that is a big deal for Tesla, because it's a decent sized market that we have in Canada for EVs.
The people that buy the 150 kilometer range Model 3, are they able to upgrade later if they choose?
No, that's the thing. That's the big difference. Tesla never created a path for that.
That's right. That's crazy.
Yeah, because if they did, then yeah, for sure, that would make a lot more sense. A lot of people would go to it. But even then, like...
Because they're riding around with that battery. Like, they're riding around with battery that goes, you know, two or three times that far. Mm-hmm. That's kind of crazy that you're hauling a battery around.
Completely inefficient, which is Tesla's big thing. We're all about efficiency. That's not really efficient. But what is efficient is Tesla stock. I mean, what a week to be a Tesla investor, huh, Seth?
Hey, I have shares.
I mean, two big news this week. One main one, and then a lot of chatter around it that sort of boosted the stock price too, is the confirmation that Tesla is going to be included in the S&P 500, which is the big index tracking all the big companies in the US. And they, of course, there was a lot of rumors of Tesla being included last quarter, I guess. Yeah. Because it was fulfilling all the different requirements that he needed to in order to be in S&P, which is there's a certain level of revenue. And then I think it's four consecutive quarters of profit, which Tesla, I think, now has five consecutive quarters of profit. So it responded to all those requirements, but it wasn't included in the last reshuffle. Now, in a separate release on its own, the S&P committee confirmed that Tesla is going to be included in the next reshuffle in December. So Tesla is not included just right now. They just announced that next month, I think December 21st, that's a Monday, Tesla is going to be added to the S&P 500. And why they're doing this announcement like ahead of time for the inclusion is because it's a big deal. It's one of the biggest inclusion in the S&P in recent memory. And they're going to have to buy into the stock heavily. And that will, of course, affect the stock price, though a lot less now because, I mean, it already boosted the stock price a lot. And the stock went up about 20% since the announcement. For at that point was like, what, a $380 billion company going up 20%. It's a massive, massive deal. And then, of course, all the analysts were like that were negative on Tesla before were like now very positive about it, like changing their tune a little bit. Oh, well, now if they're an S&P, it's a different business and everything. Like, of course not, but they knew that they would boost the stock and that would affect their performance if they had a price target on it that was lower than the current price. So they adjusted. One interesting story that came out of the whole thing regarding the Tesla, the stock this week, and I need to give credit here to Mr. Frank Pillin, I think. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. I'm sorry if I mispronounce it. He built this whole theory here that looks pretty good based on the information that we have, that one large investor has been buying heavily into Tesla over the last few weeks. There's a significant chunk of Tesla share, about 50 million share that are like untraceable right now, that are not in the hands of people that we knew were before, because based on the 13F filings, which tells us ownership of large investment funds and people like that owns a lot of Tesla share. Of course, a lot of individual investor owns Tesla share too. It's one of the most popular stock for individual investors. But yeah, a big chunk of share went missing. And then he looked into Berkshire Hathaway, which is Warren Buffett's investment firm. And they disclosed that they made a big investment in another company that is that they filed with the SEC for a confidentiality agreement so that they don't disclose it for fear of affecting the market too much with the disclosure. Because, of course, Warren Buffett is a legendary investor, and when he gets into a new company, there's an effect of the rest of the market sort of following him into it. And even though
that, because you would think they want the stock price to go up, right? But I think they're still buying, right? Is that
they might still be buying, or also there are rules about it, and like you just don't want to influence the market in a way that's unreasonable and things like that. But also, I mean, Warren Buffett hasn't been performing stock hasn't been performing really as well as a lot of other in the markets over the last decade or so. So I don't know if like he still has that much influence, but still has that much money, that's for sure. So Frank ended up finding basically calculating that investment based on if you look at all the other investment that Berkshire Hathaway has compared to what it should have without including the confidential investment, it adds up to about $11 billion, which is, of course, a massive investment to have in a single company. And as you know, you have a 5% limit of ownership. If you own more than 5% or more of a single company, you have to disclose it based on the SEC rule. Now, there's a chance that he could have gotten an exemption on that. And if he did, that changes the theory a little bit. But assuming that he didn't, it really gives us a small number of company that investment could be in because of the size of the investment. There's only 25 company, I think, 25 company in the US listed on US exchanges that if you invest $11 billion here in it, you don't have over 5% ownership. And Tesla is one of them. And there's 9 of them that Berkshire Hathaway is already invested in, so it cannot be that. And
which is crazy, by the way. There are 9 of the top 25 and now 10 of the top 25.
Yeah. And actually, they are one of the top 25 too. So that cannot be one of one either. And the size of the investment wouldn't match. I mean, of course, it depends on how they bought it. Because this stock has been volatile so much that we don't know exactly what would be the average buying price of that Berkshire Hathaway investment. But the theory is that Berkshire Hathaway could be one of the big investors that's been buying into Tesla lately and help that big surge in price that we saw. So I think it's an interesting theory for a few reasons. I mean, the the research here, and again, I credit Mr. Frank Pallin here. It looks solid, but also I'm interested more of like the logic behind it, because I know Warren Buffett is like a fundamentals investor and invests in fundamentals, which Tesla really doesn't have the fundamentals backing its share price. So that would be a big departure for him. Yeah, he's been an early proponent of electric vehicles, though. You remember the BYD investment?
Yeah. And you know, Tesla's profits to earning ratio is like 100 or something crazy high.
Yeah.
Also, I'm not sure if you included in the article, but Berkshire Hathaway has recently been divesting itself from Apple. So that could free up a lot of cash. That's something we know from the 9-to-5 Max side of the business. So
we need better communication between the two sides of the business, because I didn't know that.
I dropped the ball on that.
No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, that's a good point. Also, someone brought up in the comments that Berkshire Hathaway has kind of been late to the game, and Apple is a good example. They've been late into their investment in Apple. I mean, they made good money on Apple for sure. It's been a very consistent stock, but they didn't get the full run up of Apple. And the same thing, if they invest in Tesla now, that would be a very similar situation. Like, they are coming a little bit late on the stock here, but still, a lot of people still think that Tesla has a lot of upside in the coming years. Now, there's some friction, of course, between Elon and Warren Buffett too, because they were back in the day. Did you remember that Bloomberg business cover that was
a little bit gross to look at that, by the way.
And I mean, on the actual website article, that was a GIF too. I don't know if I can pull it up, but it's actually moving, and you can see it's so weird, so strange to look at. But that was regarding, like, Buffett was, there's two different areas that Buffett was kind of attacking Elon, and, well, it really was attacking Tesla, and Elon is just attached to Tesla. But he owns a ton of dealerships through, like, giant dealership networks. So, and those have been lobbying, of course, against Tesla's direct sell approach. So that was an area of friction. And then one that was directly that Buffett got involved is he owned the biggest electric utility in Nevada when Tesla was making a push for solar in Nevada.
Yeah.
And then they found itself of a different side of a lobbying effort to over net metering in Nevada. And for this one, which was really strange to me, Buffett got personally involved and, like, went publicly in interviews and talked about why the net metering wasn't a good idea for Nevada, which, of course, he's on the wrong side of history on that.
Yep.
But yeah, I still think it's an interesting. The way I see it is, like, if Berkshire Hathaway is really investing in Tesla, I think it's not necessarily Buffett's doing. I know that Buffett he's not retired, but he's on his way out. He's a older guy. And he's working on the succession of Berkshire Hathaway with a bunch of longtime investors there. And those people might be more willing to invest in Tesla. And that might be what's happening now that they're taking some leadership here. But yeah, it would be interesting to see if Tesla finds itself having a new large investor.
Yeah, and it's weird because, you know, I don't know how Buffett does his other investments, but we covered investment in Apple pretty closely, and he established a relationship with Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, and they talk quite frequently. And it's hard for me to imagine a similar relationship with Tesla and Elon Musk, seeing them together talking about technology. He would just get frustrated immediately.
So do you know how big the investment was in Apple? Because
it was Berkshire Hathaway's biggest investment. So,
but in terms of percentage of ownership over Apple,
it was like 5% or something.
Okay, so did they have like a board seat and things like that? I mean, not Buffett himself, but maybe like someone at Berkshire.
I don't think so. Not that I recall.
Because that would be like I think again, it wouldn't even be 5% for at that level, but still,
yeah.
All right, let's move on. The Model Y is getting some of the features that were introduced in the Model 3 2021 refresh, which we learned this week. Of course, the Model 3 2021 refresh itself was sort of catching up to what was introduced in the Model Y. Things like the heat pump, the Octovolve HVAC system, the black trims on the vehicle, and the powered trunk, the powered lift trunk in the back. That was all things that was already in the Model Y, and now Tesla was introducing the Model 3. But there was also a few other things that now were unique to Model 3. We're talking about things like the double panes windows, things like the auto-dimming side mirrors that were reintroduced, the glove box having the USB port in the glove box with the storage device for Tesla Sentry Mode and Tesla Cam. And of course, that glove box thing was a consequence of changing the center console where the storage device used to, well, goes in for the people that don't have the new center console. So now, Mr. Chad, oh man, someone is giving me a hard time with the last name here today. Chad Smavatkul.
They can't be right, but...
yeah, I apologize again if I mispronounce it. Someone on he posted on the Model Y Facebook group, he just got a new Model Y, a VIN in the 72,000, and he got new dimming, the auto-dimming side mirrors. He got the USB port in the glove box with the storage device, and also metal chrome silver type scrolls on the steering wheel. So those updates have been, and I just learned now, by the way, today, so I updated the post because the post is from yesterday, and I don't know what, okay, now it's showing. I just were able to confirm when some of the changes were introduced. So the auto-dimming side mirrors was introduced in November 8th, and whoop, the USB port was introduced in November 15th. So if you're taking delivery of a new Model Y in the coming days, look at your build date, and you should have a good idea of which one of those features will get in your car. As for the double glaze windows, I think that was on a little bit before both of those, so you should be fine to have them. One thing to know that I find interesting is that the glove box USB port is there again since the 15, but they still have the old center console in it, not the new center console.
So there's a few Model Ys out there that have a glove box USB, but don't have the other stuff.
The glove box USB is the most recent one that's been changed.
Sorry.
Yeah.
There's a few with only half the auto dimming mirrors.
A few, quite a few, I guess, like a full week of production.
Yeah.
But the weird thing is now, I would assume that sorts of confirmed, doesn't it, that then they're going to introduce a new center console to the Model Y? If they're making the change with the glove box things and everything, makes sense to have the new center console too. Might be an inventory thing. They might be working through an inventory of the whole center console.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, it gives something for everyone. Money. If you have you're going to have an inventory vehicle that you can purchase, because I know the center console wasn't a good thing for everyone. Some people like the old one. Some people like the new one. I'm very big fan of the new one, but... personally,
I think most people are like.
I was surprised by the number of comments I got that were like, I like the old one, and though a lot of people were saying I like the old one, but I need to put a wrap on it too.
Maybe I can rip mine out and sell it on eBay or something.
Yeah, I mean, almost everyone was like, didn't like the piano black finish on the old one.
Yeah, it gets fingerprinty.
Yeah. Did you put a wrap on yours yet?
No, I put a wrap on my screen. I got one from Spigen, and that's, I got the matte
Yeah, that one's great, yeah.
It's awesome, but I also got the clear one and put it on my Model 3. Not a fan of that.
Yeah.
The fingerprints, are really hard to get off.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're getting a wrap from Spigen, get
the matte one.
The matte one, for sure. Also, I will say, I have two friends, right down the street, that both got Model Ys. One got it last week or 2 weeks ago, and one is waiting for his. And the one who got it 2 weeks ago is obviously oh, this is a bummer. I could have got, whatever, the new. By the way, is that USB thing a different one than the Chinese one? It looks a little different.
No. Looks very similar. The Tesla is selling one on the website too, on his website. But I think this one is the car comes with a 64 gig one.
Right.
And I think on the website, they're selling a 128 gig one. So if you want to upgrade to one,
just go to Amazon, get one.
Yeah. I mean, it's $35. I think they're selling it on the website. And this one's probably worth like $10 or something.
Right. I mean, it's got a
Tesla. You don't have the Tesla logo on it, though.
Right. And it lives in your glove box, so nobody will ever see it. But yeah, so I have two friends who got, and the one guy is like, oh, I'm just going to wait till, you know, like I'm going to refuse my order and then wait for the updates. But there's more updates coming. You mentioned the center console is probably coming soon. So he's going to wait for that. And then Green the other day or yesterday or something noted that there's going to be a longer range Model Y coming or something. So like,
I mean, not necessarily no longer range, but a range bump on the existing models. Oh, maybe. Yeah.
But my point is that if you wait until Tesla's done upgrading, you're going to be waiting forever.
Exactly. It's
like they're just going to keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And you just got to buy it when you get in.
That yeah. I think the Model 3 though, right now you're good. Like you probably, if you get it now, I mean, I'm sure he's going to keep new things coming up, but I think it's a good time to buy the Model 3 probably. You know?
All right.
My advice. I mean, that's my advice.
Fred Lambert says no new upgrades to the Model 3 for the next 4 years.
My friend just got one. One of my good friends just bought one. And he did what your friend did. He ordered it before the battery day. But he was like, I'm going to refuse delivery if like something happened on battery day or something. But then he just canceled the order and reordered it. And the timing was just good for the update that came. It didn't came on battery day, of course, but it came a few weeks later.
Yeah, that's a big update.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's the same if you have an update, especially for here in Quebec. Yeah, that heat pump is important. And but then they've been, for some reason, they've been delaying his order a lot now. Now he's was supposed to get it next week, and now he's getting it on December 18. And he's getting a little bit worried about that because there's a risk of losing the tax credit, not the tax credit, the EV incentive here by the end of the year in Quebec. So, but apparently Tesla knows that, and they're making the best effort to deliver their cars in Quebec by the end of the year. All right. Next we have, Elon is teasing this new full self-driving beta update coming next week. Apparently it's going to have fundamental improvements on the current capability. And furthermore, they're going to have also new capabilities, new areas of functionality. So we're going to be on the lookout for that because...
And a wide release?
Not a wide release yet, but he's saying that this update that's coming up next week, if it's good, then there is going to be a wider release of the beta update. How wider, I don't know. I probably think it's still going to be an early access program, just maybe a little bit wider early access program. I don't think it's going to be a true wide release, but it's something to keep an eye on for in the coming weeks. Still on the software update front, we have... Oh, I didn't put that in. I forgot to put that in, but the Tesla V11, the version 11 of the software, Elon says it's coming next month in December. It's coming during the holiday season, and he teased a lot of features that were asked for by owners, and a lot of features that we didn't know that we wanted are going to be coming to the car. So that was his tease for the version 11, and he said it's going to be fire too. So if Elon says it's going to be fire, you know you're going to want it.
I think he had two fire things there.
Oh.
So it's going to be really fire.
For sure. So I don't know what it's going to be exactly, but we do know what he's been talking about software-wise in the last few months or so. So I'm very confident about something like the bird's eye view. And that sounds like something that could be released with version 11. That would be like a big deal, I think. Though for people who don't know, he has linked that to the FSD package. Most recently he said that would be linked to the FSD package. So if you don't have the FSD package, you wouldn't have the features, apparently. Other things, I mean, he's been teasing that car that talking Tesla thing that using the pedestrian speaker to talk to people outside the vehicle with like custom phrases and things like that. I could see that happening. What else? What would you like to see on the new update, the version 11?
I would like to just see it. just let me have it.
Did you get the last update that we talked about a few weeks ago with the Spotify update and the new music thing?
It's much nicer.
Although, yeah.
Like, come on. We gotta get to the point where we can have different Spotify's. Like, if I get in my car, I want my Spotify, not my wife's Spotify.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know. These are, like, the first world problems, for sure.
No, but it's a good point, though. It's probably an easy fix. Like, you just change your driver profile and it changes the...
Exactly.
The Spotify account. I mean, I'm sure that's an easy fix. We should tweet that out to Elon. Yeah, I mean, I thought the whole the update as a whole with the autopilot thing too, the new speed setting and everything, the whole thing felt, I thought it was a decent update. So if that's just an incremental update, I'm really looking forward for the version 11. I think it's going to be a decent one. Normally when they do a whole version change like that, it comes with decent UI refresh, UI improvements. So I'm looking forward for that too, because I've been really impressed with the way Tesla has been moving forward with UIs, especially from where the rest of the industry is coming on that front. Like, Tesla's been normally way ahead, not only way ahead, but they've been like keeping their lead too. Though I'm hopeful for like the new automakers coming up, like the Rivian and the Lucid and these new startups that are bringing up new cars to market. They know for a fact like that they need UI to be competitive with Tesla. So I know that's a big area of focus. And the automakers, the legacy automakers also, they got the message now that they need to work on that. Yeah. Should we jump in on a little promotion?
Yes. This episode of the Electric Podcast is brought to you by Electrify America. EA is the nation's largest coast-to-coast electric vehicle charging network with stations every 70 miles on average along major highway routes and full of ultra-fast 350 kilowatt chargers for capable electric vehicles. They are dedicated to providing electric vehicle drivers with the speed, security, and freedom they deserve, like freedom from range anxiety, freedom from boredom as they wait too long for a charge, and of course, the freedom of the open road, even if that open road is just the one nearby. They believe in the electric future just like you. If you're an electric vehicle owner or wondering what it's like to be one, find out what they're up to at electrifyamerica.com. That's electrifyamerica.com. Electrify America, hello freedom.
Hello freedom. All right. Next up, we have this automatic payment at charger to facilitate apartment charging and more. So I thought that was really interesting. It's something that Tesla has talked about for a while now, but we haven't seen it implemented just yet. Now, I have good sources that's telling me that it is now ready to launch. And it's basically enabled by the Tesla wall connector Gen 3 that we reported on earlier this year. Tesla updated their wall connector to have Wi-Fi capability and also sharing power capability to charge multiple vehicles. And they've been talking to the destination charger network site owners and telling them that soon they're going to let you charge people that use your distance charger, which wasn't the case before. It was just more on a basis of that it's going to bring new customers and that's your incentive of having a distance charger. Now the idea of having the customer pays is, of course, it's going to help Tesla expand the network a lot more. And I think most Tesla owners are perfectly willing to pay a reasonable price to use those chargers, just like they do now for Tesla superchargers. But the interesting thing is, like, now Tesla is looking to also bring that, since they're going to have that payment capability, it opens up the distance charger to be deployed in places like apartment buildings, condominiums, and things like that, which is something that have been a weak point of electric vehicles, because, of course, one of the biggest advantages of electric vehicles is that you wake up every morning with a full charge, and that is only capable if you have a charging solution at home, which is a lot more difficult to implement in parking garages of apartment building or just public, any kind of shared space where you park your car in an area that you have, either you have a HOA or a landlord. So now Tesla, it says that it's going to enable residents to wake up to a full charge every day by providing convenient, irrelevant charging. Property manager will soon be able to seamlessly collect payment from energy consumed. So that sounds like nothing, but it's actually a big deal, because the hard thing about implementing charging at apartment buildings, for example, is that the even though you can have your meter for each different apartments, there's a different meter for shared space, and that's generally handled by the landlord or, in case of a condominium, by the owner's association. So if that money from the electricity rates are going through that account, it's harder to split it directly to the actual people that are using that electricity, in this case, the electric vehicle owners. If you have a system that you can just connect all those charging stations to the shared account, but then keep track to a different platform with the charger, which is what Tesla is talking about here with the payment system, then you can send that money right back. Like the owners are going to have to pay the platform, Tesla's platform, and that money is going to go to the owner of the charging station, which in this case is going to be the landlord if it's an apartment complex, or the HOA if it's a condominium complex. So that solution is not unique to Tesla. I mean, I know ChargePoint had a solution like that for a while and everything, but Tesla releasing that is a big deal, of course, because I mean, it is the biggest EV brand out there. They have the most EV electric vehicles out there, so it's easier for them to go into, like, for example, I'm sure if you go into any condominium apartment that have a parking garage in major cities, if there's a few electric vehicle owners, most of them is most likely Tesla these days. So it's easier to deploy a Tesla system there. Also, it's probably a lot cheaper. I mean, this is going to simply be using the wall connector, which is a $500 charger. A lot of charger for commercial applications and everything like that are a lot more expensive. So I think that's another reason that's a big deal. But yeah, I'm excited about this. I think it's going to have a great impact, because I think that's been an area of weakness for electric vehicles, the market of apartment dwellers, really.
Yeah, and it would be even better if, I think the next step for Tesla with its wall connectors, if they could hook up with the utilities and kind of give utilities obviously want you to charge at night because nobody else is using the power grid and they have very cheap energy. For instance, where I live, Con Edison has like a little adapter that you put on your car. It's like a company called Fleet Karma, and they give you credits, but the adapter is quite expensive, and they don't roll it out really well. If you could just sign up, Con Edison, they interface with your Tesla, Wi-Fi adapter, Wi-Fi wall charger, and you could get benefits of charging on at a much cheaper rate. I think that would be a huge win, and it's all the hardware is already in place. It's just getting the software. Where Tesla creates an interface for the power company to come in and give credits. So I feel like that's the next level. And I know Tesla is spending a lot more time thinking about utilities now.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Especially like if you look at things like the supercharger payment system. Yep. That took a while for Tesla to implement. And now we're seeing the same thing. That could have been on sooner. But well, yes and no, you also needed the Wi-Fi enable wall connector, but still. So I think, yeah, you're right. It might be the next thing.
Yeah. And, there's another area it can go, Electrify America and EVgo and all the other companies are starting to use the, what is it called? The
plug and charge?
Plug and charge. I mean, if Tesla did plug and charge, they could have, Audi and Porsche and all the other cars charge. I mean, obviously you would need an adapter, but they could make a bunch of money that way as well.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. Another exclusive that we had this week was sorry, this hiring spree that Tesla went on for sales and delivery people, not a small one either. We're talking about adding about 1,000 sales and delivery workers in North America alone over the last 2 months. So that's a giant, giant expansion of its sales force. And sources,
especially when a couple years ago they were getting rid of everybody.
Oh yeah, or we are old enough to remember that the days where Elon said that they're gonna close almost all the stores and fire most of the employees and sales, and then just reverting a few weeks later, the whole situation. But yeah, now Tesla is going the other way around, full expansion, and we have sources are telling us that Tesla had a different strategy this time. They mostly hired part-time employees. So that's part of why they could have had 1,000 of them. And the idea is, of course, it's a cost-saving thing, having part-time employees. The benefits are lower, but also Tesla doesn't give them like cell phone plans and doesn't give them laptops, anything like that. They have to share those. And that's cheaper. Also, they created a path for them to become full-time employees, which I think is a good idea. So they're going to use that as sort of a trial period too. Like if you perform very well during your part-time job, then you can lead to a full-time sale advisor position or delivery advisor position, which Tesla is going to lean on in the future. So good way to have like to make sure that the best comes out on top, and you give them those people full-time positions. But yeah, it is strange in the context that just last year Elon was like, we're going to close all the stores. Everyone buys online anyway. And then a few weeks later, it's like he ended up closing like 5 stores or something like that out of like 300, and saying that, oh, we need to keep people. And then they just ended up slashing their salaries, and that was it. But yeah, I think that Elon, that's a kind of oversight of like, while it's fair that most people buy their Tesla online, most people also like to talk to someone, ask questions, go on test drives, and you need people to help with the test drives. Though at the same time, what we saw this year is that Tesla is doing a lot of like test drives without anyone in the car, but that came of because of COVID, not because Tesla was doing that because they wanted to go online only. Though, kind of a coincidence, it actually works together. But yeah, I mean, obviously this is related to a massive push for deliveries in Q4 that's coming. So Tesla's going to need those 1,000 new workers. All right, next up, we move to Zeta. It's a new lobbying group. Normally, we're not the biggest fan of lobbying groups, but this one is right in our alley.
Yeah,
it's a lobbying group to push for electric cars only. Sales of new cars would be all electric by 2030. And it's a wide-ranging group, but a lot of big names in the EV world, including Tesla, including Rivian, including Lucid, Arrival. Then, of course, charging well, you have Enel X, ChargePoint, you have Proterra for electric buses, you have a bunch of, you just mentioned Con Edison, a bunch of electric utilities, Southern Company is an electric utility, I think, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
PG&E, all Albemarle, that's a mining company, I think.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, they do, I think, one of the biggest lithium producer, I think. EV Box, another charging company, ChargePoint, EVgo, all charging companies. A lot of big companies, they are getting together, pooling some of their money to create this little Zeta lobbying group. And Zeta stands for Zero Emission Transportation Association. And again, their goal is simply to push for 100% new car sales be all electric by 2030. There's been a lot of talk about those kind of gasoline car bans and pushing for electric vehicles only in different jurisdictions over the last few years. We've heard the most popular one most recently that got people talking has been California, of course, that they are aiming for 2035. So a little bit later what Zeta is pushing for. But we've heard also the UK having similar approach. Quebec, they recently announced also the same thing at 2035. They've been sort of following California on that front, on the electric vehicle front.
Yeah, California really leads the way on that. New York and New Jersey also, probably within a month of California, also announced 2035.
Yeah, they're just the same thing as the CARB rules. Right. They just follow that. And I heard this guy, Joe Britton, and he's a... an experienced guy in the Senate. He worked for a bunch of senators there, and he's an environmentalist, and he's been like an expert in climate legislation for those senators. So probably a good hire on that front. Don't know him, just assuming here. And also, interesting thing, a Senate guy who has been in the Senate for a damn long time, and now he's moving to the White House. I think the guy is something like Joe something too. Joe Britton, Joe Biden. That's the guy. So I think that has something to do with it. And also the timing of that organization being put together, being launched. I feel like they're going to try to push. Because, again, the push is at the national level in the U.S., by the way. I should point that out. If you don't see that many international companies that are not in, or more in Europe, it's about those Siemens that's in Europe too. But ABB, that's also ABB is like Swedish or Switzerland,
something like that. Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, Lucid is also in there. By the way, Lordstown Motors, and surprisingly, is also in there. Uber is in there.
That's cool.
That's interesting.
GM's not in there.
Ford's not in there. No, zero legacy automaker in there.
Yeah,
yeah, interesting. But yeah, I think this whole organization is going to look to lobby with the new Biden administration to, I mean, Biden has clearly stated that he's pro electric vehicle, and he has some initiative they want to put in place. What do you say, 500,000 charging stations and things like that. I think this group is going to be looking to craft the legislation with the Congress and with the Senate and with the administration to make it things that are very useful to the industry and to bolster electric vehicles, which looks very good for those companies, of course. some guy posted in the comments on that one, why don't I see Electrek in that list? Electrek should be also pushing for 2030 electric vehicle sales. I'm sure that the participation fees for that thing are a little bit high, and we don't necessarily have the same lobbying budget as Tesla and ABB and those giant companies.
We're supporting them, though.
Yeah. I mean, I was the first to post about it on it. Like, they reached out, and I was like, yeah, for sure, I'm posting that. That's all the best to you guys. All right, let's move to GM now. GM had a big week or a big day yesterday, and we're going to get into it. It was a bit of a tease, though, at the same time. That's what's in the headline of the podcast today, like GM being a tease. Because that's the thing that came out of the presentation mostly, but there was a few different things in the announcement. The big one, of course, is sort of a, I guess we can call it an acceleration of the electrification plan. Now they previously said like 25 models. Now they're talking about 30 models by 2025.
Yeah, it's so coincidental that it happened right after the election. It's really quite surprising. Nobody really made the connection, I guess. But
It's an additional $7 billion in funding for electric and autonomous vehicle program up to 2025. That was sort of the big news here. Then they reiterated a lot of things that they said about Ultium, their partnership with LG Chem. Things like 60% battery cost reductions, things like range up to 450 miles. They tease also this new battery that is in development right now. A lot of it sounds a lot like what Tesla did with the battery day, like talking about battery cost reduction and all to achieve volume, which they believe they can do with the partnership with LG. But then the ad... So that was made. The announcement was made sort of in the sidelines of that Barclays automotive conference.
Yep.
Then they actually had that event, and in that event, they announced a few new things, including like the pulled up of this EV organization within LG within GM, and they put this guy Travis Hester in charge of it. His new position now is chief EV officer, which sounds cool.
Yep.
I want to be a chief EV officer. Can I be electric chief EV officer? Set?
Yes.
All right, that's my new title now.
Officer.
Okay. But yeah, the guy is a 25-year veteran at GM. He has a mechanical engineering background. More recently, he was the VP of customer experience at GM. Now he's taking up that role, and you can see the org chart here. He really is in charge of the whole EV operation at GM under Mark Roos. How do you pronounce his last name?
Royce, yeah.
Royce, the president of GM, and also president of GM North America, Mr. Steve Carlisle. So, and with the announcement of this new organization, they talked about what they're going to do in more details, and they announced this Ultify program that they are launching. They call it all new CX, like customer experience platform, and for GM electric vehicle only. And I'm going to, it's sort of the counterpart on the customer side to what on the customer experience service software side to what Ultium is on the engineering side for the electric vehicle platform, engineering and production, I should say. Some of the key points here, I can list them up real quick. It will simplify the shopping and purchase experience for EV buyer with new levels of transparency, speed, and convenience. So that's at the dealership level, I would assume, and on like the consumer-facing stuff prior to buying. With our dealer network, we'll use EVs as an opportunity to drastically improve our industry use of e-commerce and digital retail. I'm sure that's sending shiver down the spine of a lot of dealerships out there. You can see that the early evidence of this with the Hummer EV, clear and simple pricing, and a fully digital reservation system. Whether customer choose to shop and buy online, visit the showroom, and then both, will optimize those experiences. It sounds a lot what like Tesla is doing and what we talked about earlier. We also rapidly enhance existing online tools like SSD with much more to come in 2021. Do you know what SSD means?
I know SSD, the...
SCD.
I'm not sure exactly that acronym.
But
it seems like, why don't they just create a new like brand and just call it their EVs?
You just stole my electric state right there. I mean, my point was all, this is the best I think they can do outside of just creating a brand new company just for electric vehicles.
Yeah.
We've been pushing that for a while. I mean, this is kind of what Hummer is going to be, but I think Hummer is going to be just sold at GMC. I mean, they sort of folded it back into GMC, so it's not going to be that. That's what we thought Hummer was going to be, but it's not going to be that. Then there's been talks about Cadillac going all electric, but that's luxury. That's just luxury. So,
and that's a ways away.
Yeah.
Like even the Lyriq, which is moved up, like almost a full year from late 2022 to early 2022. That's still 2 years away, not 2 years, but you know, a year and change away.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they got to get the rest of the line, including like the Escalade. It feels like a full decade before they're going to be fully EV.
Yeah. It's going to be a slow transition for sure. But I'm still encouraged by that. Like, I think, when he was talking about the Ultify thing, a lot of what I was hearing was like, first of all, a lot of focus on software, which I think they know that they're a little bit behind Tesla on that. So a lot of things about managing everything through a software experience, which I think everyone is now accustomed to thanks to the smartphone revolution and everything. Then a lot of thing about the dealer's experience. They know that electric vehicles now, like people, due to Tesla's influence, people are like more aware of that there's a alternative to a dealership experience, which hasn't always been perfect, to say the least.
You're sugarcutting it. The dealer's experience is the worst thing. And the only reason that you have to do it is because there's only dealers, except for Tesla.
Yeah. So I feel like the whole presentation was about that. Like we are aware of that stuff. Like, I didn't say it in that many words. Like, you know, going to talk down on the dealership network, but they're like, we are aware of all that, and we're trying to make it better with this stuff. Like, okay, all right, let's see how it goes. But during this whole presentation, when they were talking about all that stuff, I could barely listen to what they were saying because behind them there was a bunch of prototypes that we haven't seen before. I mean, I haven't seen before. You have seen some of them. Have you seen those three ones? Were they at the EV Day?
Not in that form. I mean,
no, okay.
We saw the Hummer SUV. We saw a clay pickup truck. Nothing like this. This is clearly further along in development.
Okay.
And
one of them was this one right here.
And that's not an Angela, is it?
No, and it doesn't look like the Badger. So
you know why you know it's not the Badger? Because it's actually there.
I mean, I'm sure at this point they have a clay version of the Badger or something.
Well, it's also worth noting that nowhere during this investor conference did they even mention the word Nikola once.
Yeah. And it's weird because on the other side, like Nikola stock at the same time started doing good. People say, oh, the GM deal is getting close. But anyway, trying to walk away from the Nikola stuff because we said our piece on it. We don't trust the company very much these days. Anyway, going back to this here. So after the unveil of the Hummer, like the GM was signed a little bit late in the announcement game for the electric pickup truck, and then they came out, hey, we have the Hummer and it's coming in 2021. And like people were like, ooh, that's quick, that's fun. But of course now that they unveiled the Hummer, a Hummer pickup truck, you can see that it's not like it's a very niche product. Like it's a very ultra luxury, ultra huge electric vehicle. Still cool, but it's not in the same category as the electric F-150, the Rivian R1T, even the Cybertruck, which the Cybertruck, you could argue also it's in own category just because it's so weird looking. But it, in terms of functionality, it still fits in the pickup category. Now, after that, though, GM came out and said, oh, wait a minute, we don't just have the GMC Hummer EV pickup truck. We also have this Chevrolet BET truck, which will be the brand's first electric full-size pickup, offering 400-plus miles of range on a single charge. So this is more what we want to see in terms of competing with the Cybertruck and the F-150 electric and the Rivian. And now that's it. That's what we see here. So GM is being a tease about it. I'm not kidding. It's they're showing the prototypes, but they don't actually show them. They just show them in the background of those three executives talking. And I find it extremely weird personally. So the best we got is this, is that what, like the different, based on the different camera angles, we can see this here. You can see the overall shape. And then you can see the front end behind Mary Barra right here. So you can see like it's completely closed front hand fascia. So you can see the Chevrolet sign right there. And so it's going to be like kind of a Silverado size Chevrolet.
And then the one in the back, that we initially thought that was going to be the Cadillac Lyric, but it turns out that it's another Chevrolet Equinox kind of vehicle.
Yeah, an SUV crossover, they said, like it's a kind of crossover. You couldn't get a good angle from it though on the broadcast, unfortunately. The last one here was the best image that we can get. So it is really not much. And they haven't said basically anything on that vehicle either. So it's not like we have any information to talk about.
It's weird, though. So they had a call for journalists the night before this event. And they were like, so we're going to talk about, or we're going to unveil the Equinox size SUV. And I was like, wow, that's big news. You're going to do that at an investor conference? Like, that seems kind of strange. But this is what it's like, the first sighting of it. GM is very, very squirrely with the press releases. Like, you know, when we were invited to Battery Day, they were like, we're going to have all this PR stuff for you afterwards. Don't worry about taking pictures. We'll take your cameras. And then they came out with nothing. Like, basically, we walked away with nothing except what was in our brains. So that was quite frustrating.
Yeah, I remember after that, Evan, and you went there with Brad.
Yeah.
And we were talking in the newsroom, like, all right, what do we do with that? Do we start doing sketches?
Yeah.
But and there was also the Hummer SUV here. You can see the back of it right there. It's the SUV. I didn't put the article in it, though. I forgot to put the article in the list here. No, it's there. Okay. The Hummer EV, we get a decent angle here from it. I mean, it looks very much like the pickup truck, just in SUV format. And I think it might be even more popular than the pickup truck version. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll know what the price is, but like, yeah. I would personally take that over a pickup, especially if you could take off the roof. I mean, you could take off the top of the other one. So, mm-hmm. I mean, this is kind of just like a convertible pickup.
Yeah. It's gonna be competing in the super luxury SUV segment too, and I think in a niche product, but still. Now, around the same time that everything of that was happening, we saw the glimpses of those true new prototype. Also, the 2022 Chevy Bolt EV, not the EUV, the EV was spotted for the first time. Now, someone put a nice little watermark here. That's courtesy of Moose. PX?
Moose OBX is some realtor. It's weird.
Okay.
I guess he knows the game pretty well. I tried him on Twitter. He didn't reply. But if you go down, the one below is a little bit better, easier to see. So clearly, we saw this. Brad and I saw this at the EB Day event. So we know that this is the next Bolt. It kind of looks like, if you scroll up, it kind of looks like the one that's been on presentations that was like the Cruise Bolt for a while. But it clearly has a different look and feel. I thought it looked good in person. The people in the comments were kind of like, it's ugly. I think that's just probably a factor of it being a screen grab from and watermarked pretty badly.
But there's zero camouflage on this right now. So the headlights are like that, are like super thin and short like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was an improvement. I thought it looked good. And then I think there's, you know, the bigger improvements are going to be inside. You know, one of the big complaints about the Bolt has always been
But is there anything between the headlights here, though? Like that looks weird to me, that there's no demarcation here.
I mean, I think that's a Chevy bow tie in the middle, but.
Yeah, that, but on each side, I don't know.
Well, they got rid of the. You know, it feels like when you make an EV, the first EV you make has to have a fake grill on it. And then after mm-hmm. that, you're like, okay, we're not doing grills anymore. And this is like Chevrolet's, like, we don't need grills anymore. Look, because, you know, the Bolt has.
I mean, we just saw the pickup truck, the new pickup truck. That one looks good. The fascia looks good. But
right.
Has a demarcation between the headlights that I think is needed. But maybe there's like some little things and we just don't see it because it's super grainy.
Too. Yeah, I think that's it.
But yeah, you were thinking about the interior?
The interior in the Bolt is a big improvement. The seats are softer, comfortable. It looks like a quality car. Whereas I would say that the current Bolt has a, I wouldn't say like a ugly or bad. It's just a lower quality interior. But like, I still, you know, I kind of miss my Bolt. Some days I'm thinking I might trade in my Model 3 for a Bolt again. Maybe the new one.
Yeah, and that one is coming at the end of next year, right?
Right, but it was originally scheduled to be here now.
Like, yeah,
it was delayed. It was a 2021, and like, you know, GM obviously blamed COVID, but like, man, it's so frustrating that GM keeps delaying stuff. Like, they're already way late on everything, and they keep delaying it more, and you know there's going to be more delays coming. It's frustrating.
Yeah. Though they just said about during that event that they have their new... Their new cycle, especially starting with the Hummer, is now like way shorter. So things are going to come to market sooner. But
we'll believe it when we see it. We exactly. have Maria Barra playing Lucy with a football. You know, she's like, here come the EVs. Whoa. And we come in and try to kick it and it doesn't happen. All right. Should we go to questions?
Yeah. Let's jump into the questions.
All right. Andrew McDonald's first time in the live stream. Mm-hmm. I hope you enjoyed it. We're good over here. Unfortunately, my audio is still left side only. I don't know what to do about that. I guess I got to get an audio engineer in here. Sorry about that, everyone. Can you software unlock? I think that was one of the questions I had. I think we were talking early about the Model 3. Can you software unlock the standard range one in the U.S.?
I mean, we've seen people software unlock a bunch of different features. However, the range I've never seen. I've never seen someone unlock more range. But I've heard rumors about it that some people have done it, but they don't want it talked about too much.
That's interesting.
Because they think that Tesla could revert that.
Randy Geniac says, I'm about to get a SR Plus any day now. It's basically a $35,000 car. No need for anything more for us. It's basically a $35,000 car, but it's $38,000.
Yeah, that's the point, though. But again, I'm perfectly fine with the standard range plus. I think it's a great car. All I'm saying is that if
sell it or don't compete on its merits, though. Like, yeah, just put it there.
Yeah, put the standard range with the standard range plus, and like if people are gonna buy the standard range plus, then that's it. They buy it, but at least they know that the standard range exists or existed now, at least in the U.S.
Jonathan Root says, so then it's not standard range plus anymore.
That's a good point.
I guess we don't know.
Plus what? That's the question.
Right. We don't know if it's going to come back. So
yeah, it could come back later on. Yeah.
So what are we guessing for version 11 software? What new features? We talked a little bit about that.
Yeah, we kind of went through that.
Let's see what else. Noted at the Barclays 2020 audio conference, GM did not mention partnership with Nikola Motors. I guess I wasn't the only one who noticed that. As a feature,
They talked about Honda. They talked about being open to order partnership,
right,
too. They said
that. Right. There was really a lot of opportunity for them to talk about Nikola. They really had to kind of not say anything about it.
Yeah.
Will Tesla just issue a capital raise to S&P 500 to keep the stock price from spiking too high?
I was thinking about that. I mean, but at the same time, like, they've done two recent opportunistic capital raise.
After Elon said they would never do a capital raise.
Yeah, they would never do it again. Then they did two, and those two were opportunistics again. Like I don't like when they do a capital raise and they don't have a reason for it other than just bolster their financial situation. If I would be perfectly, as a Tesla investor, I would be perfectly happy for them to do another opportunistic one after a big price increase, like get a few billion dollars, but then tell me, all right, we're going to do this massive new battery factory with it in the snag dab middle of wherever.
And we're going to accelerate all of our plans.
Yeah. And then that means that we can produce Cybertruck and IR volume now when it comes to production, because you know that thing's going to require a lot of batteries. The Semi is going to be in bigger production. And maybe you send a Roadster or two or away. Right. Like, whatever.
It's time. All right. When does Buffett need to disclose if they're investing in Tesla?
I mean, you cannot hide an investment of that size for too long. It's going to come out relatively soon, I think.
Right. And if they are hiding it, it means that they're probably buying more of it. So we'll see. What do we know about Romeo Power Technologies, a California EV battery pack?
That's another SPAC deal.
Yeah. Everything. We're going to do a SPAC deal. I'm going to merge with some
9to5 network. Right. Can you get, what can you get? You cannot put numbers in a ticket, right? In a stock ticket.
I have to spell it out.
Ticket.
Thoughts on the future of the Level 3 plug-in in the U.S. Do you expect Tesla to go to CCS like as they have in Europe, or will they stay with a proprietary plug? This is a great question. Could they retrofit existing superchargers? Well, we know that they can retrofit because they did that in Europe.
But the longer they wait, the more difficult it would be.
Right. I mean, I kind of wish they would, but it's capitulating. And I think Tesla's connectors is more elegant. It's smaller. It's easier. I kind of feel like they're waiting for the other automakers to go to, I forgot that word again, plug and charge. If the other automakers went to plug and charge, then they have a big reason to go to CCS combo.
Yeah.
Then they can charge everybody else and make some money on the side. We know it's not going to be CHAdeMO though.
No.
So I guess it's getting better that there's just two. Let's see. I feel like the Model Y is like how
What the hell does that mean?
It's like the iPhone and iPad where the first generation came out, and just as the other manufacturers began to take notice, they improved it massively. I mean, yeah, that's kind of been Tesla's thing for a while now.
Yeah, I mean, the Model Y in Berlin is going to be a big difference, I think. Like, yeah. But again, it's such a big difference, though, that, like, you know what we say about Tesla cars, like, be careful with the first year production. Tesla works out a lot of issue in that. And now you think that Model Y is just getting out of that, but then the one that they're going to produce in Berlin is going to be so different in terms of, at least on the body level, the platform level, the battery level, that there might be some hiccups there too. But I think if they work through that, the structural battery the system, it is a big efficiency improvement. And long term, I think they can get that car cheaper, like a lot cheaper.
Yeah, that'll be really good.
Yeah.
Matthew SJ says, no comments on the 7-seater orders getting ready for delivery. Mine switched yesterday. We should contact you or send us an email.
We
did see that out there, but I think the sources that we saw it on were kind of a sketchy one, so we wanted to confirm it for ourselves, and we haven't been able to do that yet. So Matthew SJ, please send us.
Yes, then that's a screenshot. You can have the VIN number removed or something. We'll see. We'll see if we can have the two source on that, and we'll look it up.
All right, Andrew McDonald. Will they expand FSD beta, or do a greater rollout like cities like Montreal or my city Ottawa with winter coming? That's a good point. You probably don't want to. Well,
though, you want the winter experience FSD neural network.
Yeah.
He said that Canada and Norway is going to be the next one to get it. He didn't give us any kind of timing on that, so I don't know. And it might be also dependent on regulators. You never know. During the winter, maybe. Yeah.
By the way, Tesla is entering the S&P on December 21st, the shortest day of the year. Just a coincidence.
The shortest day of the year. That's good.
Someone should post a video of the burning in the shorts on December 21st. Should I quit my full-time job and get a sales job with Tesla? I can do sales. I would recommend against that.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how much money you make. You shouldn't expect too much money as a salesperson at Tesla. At least these days, you used to could get some good money. You still can get like a decent salary, I think. But, I mean, if you're a Tesla fan, is there a better job than being a salesperson for Tesla?
I mean, you're doing that anyway, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's like if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. Like, I mean, that's for Tesla fans. I mean, we all know some, and we are some ourselves. Like, this is you get to give test drive. I mean, or at least you used to in pre-COVID days. Get to talk to people about Tesla vehicles all the time. I mean, I know when I was a salesperson in my youth, and when I was a salesperson, I was selling a product that I loved. It wasn't work. It was fun.
All right. Wish Buffett would get out of oil and tobacco. Then I could just buy Berkshire and stop buying Apple and Tesla. I don't know if it works like that.
Yeah, I don't know if I wouldn't want to do that.
You also got, you're buying auto insurance.
Yeah, there's so many different things.
Europeans often make mistakes in English. Oh, this was some crazy stuff. All right. What do you guys think of NIO? We've talked about NIO quite a bit in the past. They just haven't had any big news lately.
Well, they had some news that we reported on everything. The thing with NIO, we used to report more on them when they were like marketing themselves as a global company and that they're going to expand globally. Then they kind of wind things down and focus on China, which I think is perfectly fair for them to do. And now they're starting again to talk about the global expansion coming to Europe and maybe the U.S. eventually. So I think you're going to see more of NIO on electric in the coming months and years.
Good question on NIO. Second biggest gain for EVs this week is XPEV. What about them? I don't know.
Well,
is that XPeng?
Yeah, I think so. And they are launching in Europe, so that we're going to focus a little bit more on them too. It's just that they have their issues right now with Tesla too.
Tesla and Apple.
They stole
software from both.
So there's some.
They're the only people to have seen Apple's self-driving stuff. sounds like, outside of Apple.
I mean, there's other people that worked at Apple and moved like to Tesla too, that program, and vice versa.
All right, we're talking about Buffett outside here. What do you think of the prospects in 2021 of Byton and Faraday Future? Both are claiming new financing coming.
Both are talking about SPAC too. That's everyone too. I know less about Byton. Faraday, I think they got their things together now. Like they got it together. So I think we might see a Faraday car on the road in the next few years. Byton, I know less about, but I'm open to look into it if they get closer to production.
Yeah, it would be nice if Faraday got a car on the road. That I think would be the big first step.
Someone at Faraday recently told me, Faraday is like, and that's someone that part owner of Faraday Future. Faraday Future is like a cockroach; it can never die. Like you cannot kill it.
I don't know if that's a compliment. It doesn't seem like
it's not me saying it. It's a,
and it comes from Faraday. All right. So we're talking about NIO a little bit. NIO is legit, backed by their government. They will not fail. FF is toxic. Byton, not sure. All right, let me scroll down out of this conversation. Prediction, GM will spin off its EV business and leave its old business to go bankrupt. Doesn't sound like a great business plan, but you never
know. Not impossible.
Their EV business shall also be crushed. I'm still bitter about the EV one. That Andy Towers is not one to get over something quickly. And... okay.
So maybe you watch Who Killed the Electric Car recently, and it's
still frustrating.
It started up in the whole flame.
Yeah.
Of rage.
This is the only way that ICE car manufacturers can protect their old revenue base and protect them from the Osborne effect. It's a good point. Like, you almost have to flip the switch. Like, you know, different companies do it different ways. Audi is, and Volkswagen seem to be kind of ripping off the Band-Aid a little bit more than... others, but it's hard. Like, you know, you can't just one day say we're making EVs now, and during that transition time you have to like downplay EVs until you're out of the game, I guess.
Yep.
All right, I think we're getting close to the end here. XPeng is not a competitor for 32,000. I think a lot of people have been wondering the lack of Model 3 or failing to take inflation into account. Yeah, I mean, inflation is one factor of the Model 3 costing $35,000, but theoretically it should become cheaper to make it as they get better at it. So, and I think that's about it.
Yes,
for today.
Yes, thanks a lot, everyone, for listening to the podcast today. Thanks a lot to the Fry America for sponsoring the show again this week. And if you enjoyed the show, make sure to give us a thumbs up on YouTube and a review on your podcast app. That's always super appreciated. We appreciate everyone that listened today. And we're going to see you same time next week. All right. Have a good one.